The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw It, episode 457. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Hey, yo.
And because this is a very special occasion, we're joined by a very special man, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Good evening, Spider Team.
Awesome. And Rich, man, when I told the Throwdown crew, you know, the fans that you were coming, like, RPJ, let's go.
RPJ.
It's hilarious, man. So yeah, I want to give you a shout out, man. Thanks for being on. You know, we had you on for Starfield. You know, we got to talk about that motherfucking Spider-Man's, you know.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Brian coming in. Coming in hot,
flipping, you know? In.
He's like, I heard Spider-Man.
Brian, you fucking maverick.
Yeah, what's going on, Brian?
Nothing much. Just busy days, that's all.
Yeah. I hope it's good busy days, though, you know? RBJ into his house. Motherfucker's already going off. That's what's up, man. As we discussed, we will be talking about Spider-Man. And Rich, we can finally talk about this game publicly, you know?
Yes,
we've had it for a couple of weeks now, you know, and for me, it's been an amazing time, you know. Real quick, I gotta thank you, Manny, for showing us Spider-Man. Because I didn't review the game. Rory Mellon, he's our like UK writer, so he reviewed it for Tom's Guide. I am writing I have written an op-ed that's gonna go over the weekend. Now, just full disclosure, I started writing this op-ed. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll do a quick 800-word op-ed. My shit is like 300 words shorter than a review. Like, I went off. Uh-oh. You know, it's kind of...
What's this non-review review?
Yeah, I'm like, damn, my shit is as long as the fucking review, basically, you know? But there was a lot of things I had to say about the game. All these things I've been holding in, and I will talk tonight. But obviously, no spoilers because, you know... Sony will be very mad at us, and you guys will be mad at us too. And I'll say, by the way, real quick, tomorrow, do not go on YouTube. Because you know what happens. You guys are going to log in. Yeah. You're going to see those thumbnails, you know? Rich, yep. I remember, man, when I reviewed God of War 2018, right? I was glad I got that review early because the day the embargo lifted, the embargo lifted, not even the game dropped. YouTube, thumbnails everywhere. God of War ending explained. I'm like, what the fuck? No one's playing this game yet. What are we doing here?
Listen, it's already begun.
Yeah, YouTube it has. Yeah.
Already has a bunch of spoilers already. My brother, who's on Twitter, he actually posted that he got the game. Oh. He had the game.
Oh, shit. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, certain places selling games a little earlier than they're supposed to.
Yeah, I wonder if we just shout out the place. I know where he got that from, you know.
Yep.
Three letters.
They have always done that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Ever since they were in Chinatown.
Yep.
Every time. Granted, he only got it maybe a day early. Back in the day, it used to be like a month earlier or weeks earlier.
Yeah, it used to be like that. But no, these are, you know. Influencers, split shit. Anyway, let's get into it, man. Let's talk about Spider-Man for a bit. Rich, what are your thoughts on the game, man?
Well, let me think for a second. You said amazing, right? So
yes.
Let me see. Amazing, spectacular, incredible. Any word that means fantastic. This is what this game is.
Yeah. Would you say it's superior to the previous game?
In my personal opinion, I have to make sure I say this is my opinion because other people might disagree. I think this is the best Spider-Man game that Insomniac has ever made. Like I said, they made the first game, then they made Miles Morales, and they pretty much were listening to the feedback and pretty much made this the best version of what they've done so far as these games are concerned. So, yeah, I would say it's the best game they've done. Not just in terms of the gameplay, the story, to me, the narrative, and how they brought a lot of things together. They did a fantastic job. Like I said, you know, I know that I reviewed the game. You know, all the review embargo ended on Monday, this past Monday. But I was excited for other people to get their hands on the game and start talking about the game because, yeah, there's a lot to talk about with this game. But yeah, incredible experience from start to finish. And if you're a fan of Spider-Man, you won't be disappointed. Yeah, I guarantee that.
I'll say this, man. I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy right now. Remember originally when you were on talking about Starfield, the comments got kind of hot, you know?
Yes.
You were getting some very pointed questions. I have a sneaking suspicion we're not going to get any type of heat in the comments for this game, for praising this game. I have a suspicion, you know?
Well, no, it's still early. Let's wait and see if people have some critical comments to say, because there might be some coming.
I'm curious to see how the accountability cast is going to take this one.
Yeah,
right. Okay, so I got a critical question. I'm like, honestly, it's not me talking to you. I'm just kind of trying to put it in a critical way. So calm the fuck down, chat, preemptively, all right? what makes this game different than, say, Miles Morales? What sets it apart from its predecessors?
Rich, you want to take that first? I already have like three answers that popped into my head.
Okay, well, I'm very curious to hear what your answers are. My answer is very simple, and that is that, well, one thing I will say about Miles Morales, and obviously a lot of people had this opinion because I have heard this opinion. Miles Morales is obviously a standalone, smaller game compared to the original Spider-Man. And I think a lot of people played that game. They were satisfied, but they didn't feel as though this is not Spider-Man. You know, they said, this is great. This is a great little game I could play for a little period of time. But when you play Spider-Man 2, this is, to me, the definitive Spider-Man experience that Miles is involved in. Obviously, Miles was in the first game, but he was just getting his powers at the end of that game. So they really had to expand upon that with this other, you know, single story. But he is a very important part of this game. And I'm not going to say any spoilers. But I just want to say, man, I cannot wait to see what happens next, because you already know they're not going to just make – there's obviously going to be another game. You know, that's what I will say. I think we can all come to that conclusion. But I would just say, for the people that played Miles Morales and they enjoyed the game, but they obviously felt as though it was a short experience, I don't think they're going to be disappointed with what they did with Miles in this game, because obviously they expand upon the character – some stuff he's dealing with, and he takes a much larger role in terms of how he plays his part within the storyline.
Yeah. But anyway, to answer the question directly, what makes this game different than Miles Morales? The map, first of all, Miles Morales, you were only relegated to the top and Midtown Manhattan. This is the entirety of Manhattan plus the western parts of Queens and Brooklyn. So there's one difference. You have to play as two Spider-Men as opposed to one. That's another big difference. And then the other one is all the new gameplay mechanics, the Venom powers, both the symbiote powers and Venom powers that Miles Morales has. So yeah, it's not the same game. You know, like, the fundamentally it is, because it's a sequel. It's not going to be like radically different. Like, if you play Spider-Man, you're going to slip right into this. But the new mechanics definitely feel integrated. I really feel the gliding mechanic. It helps you get around the city so much better. And I like how there's like wind tunnels and shit that are like strategically placed that can help you get around really fast. So combining that with the web swinging, which has also been upgraded a lot faster, you can see that Mark Cerny SSD, you know, going to town. And have you seen the fast travel? Literally, like, let's just say you're in Midtown Manhattan and you point to like a fucking Astoria, it literally just like zooms through you right in, you know? So it's great. And Rich, I want to expand on something you said. I feel this game is Insomniac's best game, period. You know, because it's a culmination of everything they've done for the past almost 10 years, right? You have the traversal that was obviously inspired by Sunset Overdrive, right? You have the storytelling chops of the Spider-Man games. You have the fast traveling traversal. No spoilers, but you know what I'm talking about. Crazy portal shit of Ratchet and Clank. And I would also say the conciseness of Miles Morales, because as much as I liked Spider-Man 1, right, a lot of those side missions were fluff, you know? This game has side missions too, but I feel they do it the way Miles Morales did it, where the side missions are all meaningful and give you something really extra, you know? So, yeah, man, like, this is a studio working at its best. And I've been saying this from the jump, this generation. Insomniac Games is the MVP of the PS5 generation. You've seen the memes.
Yep.
You know, you've seen the memes. Like, those memes are accurate. There's this one meme of Spider-Man in a fucking hospital bed. He's like, oh, man, I'm tired from carrying the PS5 all generation.
Yeah, I was about to say, they have the strongest back in the video game industry. But okay, let me kind of cut through some of this and, like, ask directly. And I'm going to give the disclaimer again, because I know, I'll just say it, a lot of our fan base are straight-up fanboys, but, like,
damn,
dude, you know it's true. So, like, I have to give the disclaimer that more of the same isn't a bad thing, right? Like, Elden Ring was more of the same, but it was, you know, them kind of bringing the best of all of their things to a culmination. That being said, since we're not having it as a PS5 exclusive, is this essentially more of the same, just done really well? And again,
what do you mean we're not having as a PS5 exclusive?
This is on PS4, isn't it?
No, this is only on PS5. Yeah.
Okay. And, shit. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to talk about. But finish up.
I wouldn't be buying a PlayStation 5 if it was.
Okay. Okay. So it really shows you guys how much, like, I've been swamped and I have not been paying attention. Okay. So let me ask you this: does it feel next gen?
Yeah, I would say it was finally. You know, like, those. Okay, so, yeah, go ahead.
What is the thing that that's like the question I guess I'm getting at. Like, what's the thing that makes it feel new and next gen? Or is it just the level of polish is at its nth degree?
Not only that, but as I mentioned, that fast travel is crazy. Brett, literally, you point to a section of the map and you automatically swing there, nothing lost. Like, PS4 wouldn't be able to do anything like that. The loading is ridiculous.
Don't get me wrong. It just doesn't sound like it.
That is next gen as fuck. No, previous consoles could not do that. That is by definition next gen, you know?
And not to mention, all the modes have ray tracing in them. From fidelity mode to the you know, 40 frames per second mode to the 30, they all, you know, the 60, they all have ray tracing in them, and they have reflections of reflections.
Yeah, too. Yeah. The graphics are ridiculous.
Everything has ray tracing on it.
Yeah, like, and again, Insomniac, they're fucking wizards, man. I don't know how they do this shit, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, graphically, like, the tech behind it. And I'll say this, because we were talking, because I was on the latest Gamertag radio episode talking about this with Paris and Danny. And, you know, they both said that they like the performance mode. Because, okay, from the jump, you see it's fidelity mode and performance mode. I'm like, the mode you really want to pick is fidelity at 120 hertz. You know, if you have a 120 hertz TV hooked up with an HDMI 2.1 cable, because you get 40 frames a second with all the bells and whistles, 4K, and it looks fucking nice, you know? So you're not compromising it at all, because with 60 frames, it's like variable resolution, you know? So I was like, wait, I could do this mode instead? But yeah, no, this shit, like, felt next gen to me, not only because of the graphics, but also just because of how fast it is, how it loads. Like, you know, you won't be taking a train like you were in fighting Spider-Man 4. None of those scenes.
The first load is like amazingly quick too. Like, just the loading from the screen to the game, whatever voodoo they're doing to get that.
Insomniac, man.
I mean, so, like, honestly, it sounds like, and again, like, this has been one of those, like, I'm not looking up anything. I'm trying to stay completely blind to this thing. But it sounds like they just kind of took everything that they were doing really well and turned it up to 11.
Pretty much.
And I guess, like, So I think in this instance, you know, and I asked this because I feel like it's going to be an important conversation. Like, should we expect things to change and develop with each iteration? And like Insomniac kind of begs the question, like, can you really get any better than this? Like, I don't know where you would have built on from here for some of the people kind of inevitably going to be talking about, like, well, it's just more of the same Spider-Man. Like, well, yeah, but like that game was pretty much reviewed as the perfect Spider-Man game. What are you going to do to make it better?
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, add some fancy zoom in screens to the fast travel, yeah. Add some cool new powers. I mean, I guess I could say I would have liked destructible environments, but I say that for every game, so I'm not going to hold it against them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but again, you really need to experience that fast travel for yourself, because it's literally you're swinging, you go into the map, like, I'm going to go here. And then as you're continuing swinging, you just swing right into the next burrow. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. It's so seamless, you know?
I mean, it sounds cool, but it just sounds like a really cool party trick. It doesn't necessarily... Then again, I'm sitting here being like,
yeah. Would you rather have that or just wait 5 seconds? You know, it's like,
oh no, I would definitely.
I mean, I would definitely rather have that.
That sounds cool.
Or we can have a load screen at every door.
Or we can shove our way through a crevice.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's awesome, and it seems like Insomniac really knows how to, you know, squeeze every drop of power out of the SSD, which seems to be, you know, the big thing that pushes PS5 ahead of Xbox in terms of what it can do better. Honestly, I haven't seen exactly what Xbox can do better. Like, I know it's got more horsepower.
On paper.
Brett's saying that shit.
Whoa! Brett's saying something bad about Xbox. Whoa.
I mean, it looks great on paper. I don't see where that extra power actually lands so far. And could be that they don't have an Insomniac to kind of squeeze the power out of it. But I mean, fuck, there are only so many Insomniacs, and I don't think they're for sale. So
damn. Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
I just want to say two things. Obviously, I'm not, you know, we're not going to get into any spoilers, but there's two main things I definitely think really stand out about this game, aside from the story. The boss fights.
Yes.
Now, let me just say this. Obviously, you know, I know a lot of people will start playing the game. You know, at the very beginning of the game, there's one particular encounter, which is pretty great, but I'm just telling you, that's only just the tip of the iceberg, because as you get deeper into the game, some of those boss fights are absolutely crazy. And actually, when I was playing through some of that, it reminded me a lot of the Batman Arkham games and some of the bosses you face in those games, how some of the actual matchups have a theme to them, and you have to think about how you're going to actually defeat the enemy. So I really got that feeling. I think they did a fantastic job on that stuff. And the other point that I will mention is that just you getting immersed in the actual world, because they have points in the game where you're obviously taking a break, exploring stuff as Peter Parker, so on and so forth, as Miles. That stuff is really awesome as well, because, you know, it takes you out of the action just to get a sense of how immersive the actual world is that you're actually exploring. You feel like you're a part of the experience. So they did a fantastic job on those two things also. I wanted to point that out. But again, I'm not going to say any spoilers because, I want everybody to experience it for the first time and then see how they feel.
Dude, I loved it the first game. Like, I actually had a moment in the first game where I kind of, hold on, everybody, I'm going to praise PlayStation again. I actually had a moment in the first game where I actually had to set the controller down and be like, dude, I get Spider-Man in a way that I never did before. Because, like, I'm running around town trying to get to my next mission. So-and-so wants to meet me at the lab where I'm supposed to meet up with MJ. But as I'm going to my destination, crime happens, and the game just weaponizes my own ADHD against me. And I'm like, I gotta stop this burglar. I know MJ's waiting for me. And I think there was this one point where I was like, I have to go to class, but I have to stop this robbery at a convenience store, and I'm kind of torn, because I need to get there, but there's a crime right there. And I'm like, oh my God, I get it. I had seen Spider-Man that position before, and I kind of understood it, but my ass walked straight into it without even realizing it until I said the words, like, or until I was actually in that position. I was like, oh, like, I'm supposed to meet up with MJ, but there's, I got to stop this crime. I know she's going to be pissed. And like hearing it out loud, I was like, oh, fuck. Hmm. Wow. You guys did a great job.
Yeah. That's some real Spider-Man shit, you know? Darth Gibbous asks, can you use fast travel in missions? For some of them, you can. Not all of them, but some you can, you know?
If I you imagine you have to unlock something or travel somewhere.
With the fast travel? Oh yeah, you have to like complete a certain amount of missions in a like a town or a borough so you can fast travel within them, but you could do that real quick. Like within 5 minutes you already unlocked it, you know, by fighting crime and, you know, doing little side missions and stuff, you know. It doesn't take too long. The other thing I want to bring up. So it's interesting because for the most part the Manhattan architecturally is the same as it was in the first game, but to be honest, for most of the game, every place felt completely different because all the textures have been redone. So, like, I'm going to places I visited a million times the first game, but it felt different, too, at the same time. I'm like, whoa, you know, because they just changed up everything. I really feel that they made the city feel more alive. There's, like, a lot more pedestrians now, a lot more artwork all over the buildings and stuff, which is really cool. And I want to talk about the new sections, which are really, really well done. I can't really speak too much about Brooklyn because as a Queens guy, I always try to stay away from Brooklyn if I can, you know. but Brooklyn looks nice. It looks nice. But for me, man, like visiting, you know, they call it downtown Queens. It's fucking Long Island City. Here's what I find, and I can finally talk about this publicly, right? What I find funny is in the map, it says downtown Queens. But when you're in the actual game, you see Long Island City banners everywhere. So I'm like, call it Long Island City. What the fuck are we doing? They literally, the same banners that are around here, I say, welcome to Long Island City. They're in the game. You know, so I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? You know, and if you go to, I forget the name of the park, but, you know, where the Pepsi is sign is like some other bullshit, but it still says Long Island there, you know. But that's great going there, like literally. And I'm going to do a real life and video game shot of this. Queens Plaza and Jackson Avenue. That's where I take the train. It's in there. Mm. It looks the same. You see the fucking 7 train and shit, you know? And like, so I took a real shot of it and I'm going to post the game shot. I'm like, hey, they did a pretty good job. The only thing is like, they weirdly cut it off where it's like, basically at, above the 7 train, Astoria just immediately starts. Like, Astoria is 3 more blocks up, you know? So they kind of truncated everything. Although I will say Astoria looks a little bit more like inner Queens, you know? Like, Astoria has more brownstones and stuff. There's not enough of those. They actually have, like, legit, you know, picket fence houses. That's more in, like, deeper Queens where Manny and I were from.
Yeah.
You know, Flushing and stuff.
That's Flushing, and that's, like, Forest Hills.
Yeah. And Manny, in the far distance, and this is inaccurate. In the far distance, you can't see the science fair shit, you know? But I'm like, you wouldn't be able to see that at all. You know, not from there. But it's cool. Just doing it. You know, they had the factories. Again, they did such a good job with Long Island City where you have this nice clean building and then a dirty ass fucking warehouse right next to it. You know? So that was a lot of fun, you know, and then seeing the 7 train going over the fucking the 59th Street Bridge and shit. Oh, like it's so cool, man. Like, I just spent like hours just like, hey, I'm gonna go check out my town. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's wrong. You know, that's cool. You know, oh, it's so cool. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I want to talk about is, and Rich, you brought it up. I really like how, like, both characters' stories, like, they're independent, but they also come together by the end. This is the sense I got with, like, Peter Parker. He kind of represents, this is going to sound weird, but you may understand, to me, he kind of represents what New York used to be, you know, like back in the 80s and 90s and stuff. And Miles Morales, he kind of represents the modern New York, you know, I kind of got that sense. And I really enjoyed the Miles Morales mission where he's doing shit with his like classmates and stuff, you know, in Brooklyn, which is pretty cool. I really enjoyed that. And then Peter's story, Peter Parker's still the heart of this game, obviously, you know, and... You guys are going to see some cool stuff, especially if you're like a comic book fan. There's some hidden and not so hidden Easter eggs where you're like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. What's that guy? You know, they ain't hiding him so well, but he's there. And then obviously, you know, you've seen the trailers, you already know, you know, the Venom powers and shit. You get to play as Venom in one part. It's like, I wish Insomniac didn't tell people that. It's like, keep that a secret, guys. But they're using it as the marketing campaign, you know? Also, you know, I'm not going to say too much, but they showed Sandman. I'm like, that's something you should have kept under wraps. Because that is dope.
Yeah, they showed
I'm not going to tell you where you fight it, but it, what happened, Manny?
They showed quite a bit of gameplay of that, of that sequence.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, you got, okay, like.
Who's they?
And by the way, to piggyback off of that, they also showed another fight that happens in the game in a recent trailer. And I was like, why the hell would they show that? Because that fight is pretty crazy.
Yeah, like you guys shouldn't have been showing that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Logic Wins asked, they got the 7 train. They got the 7 train and the N train, you know? They got both of them, which is pretty cool, you know? And they even have the Midtown Tunnel. It's closed off, though, you know? But it's there.
You can't go in it.
Yeah, you can't go in it. Yeah. Well, I'll leave that one alone. But the Midtown Tunnel's there, you know?
How do they block off the areas of Brooklyn and Queens to tell you that you can't go in that direction?
Oh, they just tell you you're leaving the game area. Go back.
Yeah,
Like, pretty much like the way the other game was too, where it's like, oh, leaving the game area. Yep.
Yeah, although in this one it's more obvious because remember in the last game it's because there's water all over you.
You know, water.
This one it's like literally it's like, hey, but there's a house right there. What are you talking about? You know, but yeah, man, it's just super enjoyable. You know, it's like this is the type of game that reminds me why I love fucking video games. It's just so good.
Yes.
You know, the graphics, the story, the gameplay. It's just, it's amazing, you know? So if you're getting the PS5, you know, the Slim's coming out, good game to get with it, you know? Good game. So, yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I haven't seen any controversy too much. You know, there's probably will be, obviously, with some fanboys. I don't know if you've seen anything, Rich, because... but I also feel like, and I want your take on this too, Rich. It seems like the hatred that Starfield got, this game is not going to receive, you know?
Oh, no. I don't think it should get any hate, but, you know, yeah, it's, I mean, it's like I think a lot of people said, this is a game that I think will appeal to a lot of people that are fans of Spider-Man. So it has a particular audience, I guess. Everyone who likes Spider-Man would pick it up. So I don't think there's going to be any controversy. There is one thing I did want to make a comment about, though, and that is that obviously there is obviously still a strike happening in the industry. This is why Sony decided to delay this Kraven movie. I'm just going to say right now, the way Kraven was presented in this game, because that movie was actually supposed to come out the same time as this game.
Oh, wow.
So, that's a missed opportunity because they did a hell of a job with how they portray Kraven in this game.
No, it's not. Have you seen the trailers for that Kraven? even the Kraven that we saw in them trailers. So no, it is good that they delayed that piece of garbage because it's gonna bomb.
Yeah, that Kraven movie's gonna be trash.
That movie looks stupid as Morbius.
Yeah, is it going to be the summer of Kraven? Remember that bullshit, you know?
Yeah, Morbius.
It's Kraven time.
It's Kraven time. Yeah, man, there you go, you know? Fucking insane, man. Rich, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up too, because I'm like, just like with the first Spider-Man, I feel this is better than any live-action Spider-Man movie, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Because Spider-Man feels like the guy I read in the comics, you know, like that's Peter Parker. That's the dude, you know, even though, you know, the first, at least the first two Tobey Maguire movies are fucking incredible. But he still felt off, you know, but, you know, this game, this shit right here, you know, fucking awesome.
Honestly,
man.
This is the best version of Peter Parker I've seen outside of. The Spider-Verse movie. I love 30-year-old Peter Parker. 40-year-old Peter Parker. Peter B. Parker or whatever the fuck he is. But
the old guy, yeah.
Yeah. Old Spider-Man. But this to me, like, and I gotta say, it was nice for me because I do not like current movie Spider-Man. Just don't like him. Think he makes a good Spider-Man. Think he makes a pretty decent... No, I won't even say he makes a pretty decent Spider-Man. Spider-Man is flips and quips, right? And if you lose the quips, that's only half the package. It ain't a thing. Hashtag not my Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
So, like, this was, to me, really good to see because it felt like outside of comic books, a lot of people had kind of lost what Spider-Man is.
Yep.
So it was really good to see this kind of return back to the comic roots, return back to the, honestly, all the stuff that made Spider-Man super cool.
Yeah, no, I got that same sense when I played the first game and still with this one. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the guy I grew up reading. That's the dude, you know? And in this game, they actually give you his age. He's 25 in this game. So he's like fresh out of college, you know? and just like usual, Peter Parker dealing with some bullshit. Like, man, like there's crime and I can't pay my bills, you know? The usual stuff. It's like, oh, how are we going to afford this house? Like, oh. Fucking motherfuckers doing shit in Manhattan. I got to go deal with that now, you know? Oh, man. And then obviously the whole fallout with Aunt May and all that from the other game, if you played that. A lot of good stuff, man. And also, going back to Miles Morales, right? I found it kind of cool how, even though this is the direct follow-up to, you know, his game, Miles Morales, it's actually more of a sequel to the first game because you remember the main villain of the first game, right? He became Miles's main villain, you know, in this one. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. How, like, because everything in Miles Morales was kind of wrapped up really nicely and stuff, you know, elements of that carry over. But it was kind of cool to see the continuation of that and how Miles, you know, like, it's some really good character stuff there, you know. And I'm saying this as a person who doesn't really care for Miles Morales in the comic books, but I like him in these games at least, you know. Even though that fucking Spanish accent, Jesus Christ, you know, horrible. Yeah.
I hope you mentioned that on Game Attack Radio.
Yeah, I believe I did, but it's like, but I could go off because I don't curse on Game Attack. I could curse here, dude. And they have him talk more. I'm like, stop. Please, you're killing me over here. You know, it's like he did a whole like sent like not a sentence. He did a whole like five sentences worth of shit. I'm like,
bro, but you know they were patting themselves on the back just for having that shit in there.
Yeah, exactly. But thankfully, that even though that was the cringiest shit in the whole game, that is really the only part where he actually speaks Spanish. So they spared us that. Yeah. You know.
Probably talking to his mom or something.
Yeah, it was with his mom, but it's like, oh, you know,
they had to get their clicks in. Hey, let me ask you because I've seen some.
I tell you, Movie Miles
does it better. Spanish. You know, like he, I think and go ahead.
And she even in the movie, she even calls him out for like using Spanglish. She's like, what?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Brett.
You know. You kind of got to hit those marks, and I've seen some headlines. I didn't click them because they were definitely clickbaiting in headlines. So let me just ask you directly: like, is you know, I've seen things that talk that they're going off saying how like this is, you know, blah blah blah, overly woke, blah blah blah, and I've seen other articles already saying how this game champions diversity and inclusivity. Like, is everybody just kind of jumping at Shadows here, or you know, is it ham-fisted in there? Like, what's going on? Is this a tolerable amount of preaching?
I'm trying to be careful here.
That's what I'm saying. Let me ask you this: is it a noticeable amount of preaching? Do you feel at any time like you are being kind of championed to or preached to?
Rich, you can answer first. I need to think about how I'm going to answer this.
So my answer is that there is some stuff that does feel as though they are trying to be inclusive. Some of those missions, certain, like if there may be an activity you have to do for a certain character because they're trying to make a good impression on another character. I thought that was, okay, that's an interesting situation that they put into the game. But it's not like, this is like little small stuff they have in there. And one thing I do want to say, because I think, yeah, Tony already said, the side missions are meaningful. I definitely would like to encourage people who are playing this game. I would strongly recommend you play some of these side missions because there's story in these side missions that will come up again in the future. Yes. So I would, You definitely correct. Need to play that for the sake of the future.
Yeah. That actually gave me a great way. Tony, let me reel it back a little bit for you into safer waters, because I'm not trying to put your feet to the fire.
Remember, just to be clear, your question is not an issue. I'm just trying to give you
how an you answer. Ask it.
Like, so, no. How I answer it. That's what I'm.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Let me frame this away for you. Like, I view, despite what anybody's personal politics are, that to do something well, to write something well, it should never be noticeable. You know what I mean? Like it should be done with a soft touch and a guiding hand. You should never be able to call out, hey, they're kind of doing blank here. And if they do, that's an issue with the quality of the delivery system, again, not the politics. So that being said, is it noticeable?
Yes.
As in, is it poorly done enough that it's slightly, not even poorly done enough, it's like, is it noticeable? Could some people consider it immersion breaking? Is it jump in your face? Like, I think for me, the biggest quantifier is like, hey, I noticed it. And that generally means like, you could have done a better job.
Yeah. And again, I say this with the caveat of I don't even know how to answer it. Basically, I can't not see that stuff, Brett. So I'm aware of this stuff, right? So I will notice it no matter what, you know? I guess the best analogy I could give you is, remember, I've said I like this game a lot. I feel it's the best PS5 game. Answer your question, Mighty Nerd. Yes, it's a Plants, Ratchet & Clank. I think it's great. But there were instances where it's like, the best analogy I could give you is, you know, I'm eating, you know, rice and beans and shit, and I'm like, what's the fucking carrot doing here? You know? Get the shit out of here.
Didn't ruin the meal.
Yeah, no, it didn't ruin, but it's like, but I got to take some time to get this carrot out of my plate, you know, and I'm eating again. Everything's good. It's like, oh, another carrot. Bro, all right.
You ever get a whole, like, clove of garlic in something while you're eating spaghetti, you're like, oh, that's fucking delicious. They're like, a whole clove of garlic. You're like, look, bro, I don't mind garlic, right? But too much all at once, shit will ruin your dinner.
Yeah, no, it's not that egregious, because it's more like, oh, it's there. Okay, let me just get it out of the way. But the thing is, it's a 2023 product, so these things are just going to happen, you know, but even though it is in your face, but again, like I said, I can't not see this stuff, right? I've seen worse instances where, I will say this, Brett, they never make you feel bad about it, if you know what I mean. There's no shaming, you know?
Hey, that's a step forward for a lot of companies. And honestly,
there's no shaming, but it's like, there are some instances where you could tell they were patting themselves on the back, like, we did this. You know what I'm saying, right?
We're heroes.
Yeah, but thankfully those instances are, yeah, they're few and far between. And obviously, by the latter half of the game, there's none of that anymore. It's just, here's some crazy ass superhero shit. You know, like the kind you know. But you're right, Rich. Most of that stuff comes up in the side quest. I would say within the main quest itself, no, Brett, none of that in the main quest. Yeah. None of that. It's in the side stuff. You know, with the character you think it's involved with.
I can say this. So like, there's no side quest where you help a gay black orphan get his wheelchair back, right?
Nothing like that. Nothing like that.
Okay, here's a question.
Go ahead.
Is it handled better or worse than Last of Us 2 Bigot Sandwich?
Yeah, it's not, like I said, no one's being guilted in this, you know? It's just like, hey, there's this kind of character. I'm like, okay, we're doing that now. Okay, cool. Okay, now we're done. Okay, cool. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, as long as they're not telling you you're a bad person.
No, none of that. None of that. And like I said, the main story, you know, it's just traditional good superhero shit. You know? The kind that you miss in comics, that I miss in comics, you know? Like, this is, hold on, Brett, don't you just fuck me up right now. This is not only better, I'm saying it right now. This game is not only better than the current Spider-Man movies, it's better than those shitty current Spider-Man comics. Have you seen what they're doing to our boy fucking Peter right now?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, at least Insomniac is respecting him, you know? It is a shame what they're doing to him in the comics, you know?
I threw down my comic figuratively in disgust and walked away the second they were like, meet Charlotte Weber. I was like, oh, no. I ain't doing this. And yeah. I say that directly to the man in the wheelchair. Fuck that noise.
Yeah, no.
Uh-oh.
That is fucking insulting, that type of shit.
Dude, that's why I'm like, I know somebody in a wheelchair. Yeah. He'd be like, the fuck is this bullshit right here?
That's a whole other conversation, but it's like, this whole like thing of like, oh, I need to be seen. No, you don't. It's a fictional character. The whole point of a fictional character is for you to step out of yourself and see the world through different eyes. You know, that is the whole, like, you know what? I'll stop right now. I could go on a fucking rant. But how narcissistic do you need to be that you need to see yourself and everything? You fucking dumbass. You know you don't.
Well, dude,
you need to see
that.
Yourself
like,
you need to see through other people's eyes and get different perspectives, you know?
But even like, you can't recognize your own strengths and weaknesses. Like, if you have to, like, if you are a paralyzed person in a wheelchair and you have to see yourself in your comic book hero, that's fine. But, like, maybe play to your strengths, and no offense, Tony, yours isn't probably agility and mobility.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
right? Like, that's Tony. Like, I understand that we want to like live our dreams and it's a superhero fantasy and everything like that. Not everybody needs to be fucking Oracle or the guy in the chair. I'm just saying, the idea of somebody swinging around, like, everybody that I've told about this immediately looks confused and like, what happens with her legs?
Yeah, no, Brett, my favorite thing, just on that topic, have you seen the D&D character in the wheelchair? Dragons and Dungeons and Dragons, medieval shit, the guy in a wheelchair. They have a figurine of this guy.
Is it like a Professor X, like, artificer cool-ass thing?
It literally looks like some steampunk guy in Dungeons and Dragons.
South Park had a guy in a wheelchair, almost threw up.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's random. But anyway,
I think that's different.
Yeah, that's very different. But the point is, like, you know, this game doesn't beat you over the head with any bullshit. You know, it's there because it's 2023, current day. You know, all that nonsense. But it's not like you're bad if you don't accept this. None of that. You know. And again, the main story, pure classic superhero shit. You know.
Honestly, mm-hmm. I think that's a bit of a problem with Sony games. Like, in general, they seem very much to hit the flavor of the week or you know, hyper progressive boxes, like, but in a disingenuous kind of way, I kind of feel.
They all do that, though. But Ubisoft does too. But well, again, I don't want to keep going down that rabbit hole. We're gonna get into enough trouble as is. But regardless, the game, you know, there's obviously going to be some people that are just upset about that. It is what it is. But it, in my opinion, and this is me because I don't like any of that nonsense. I was able to just remove the carrot and keep enjoying the rest of the meal, you know? I'll just leave it at that.
Honestly, that's more than I was expecting the answer to be. It's minimal. You won't even notice it. So, like, I can understand why people are talking about it, but I kind of honestly think this is like Pugglegate kind of shit. Like, I get it. Nobody likes being preached to. Fucking deal with it. Move on. We had to check some boxes because, again, it's 2023. So, like, it's all those articles that I'm seeing and you may see and all the videos that you're gonna see, don't click them because it's overblown bullshit. Right? That was my point in asking that question. I wasn't trying to.
And there's also people that, you know, the whole platform is that, you know.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
so they kind of have to go ham on this stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the reason I asked the question, man. I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus. It was just one of those, like,
I'm just trying to not get thrown down in trouble, you know?
Remember, there was a dude that cried because of the Starfield start menu.
Moving on. Like, we saved y'all some time. Don't click any of that clickbaity bullshit. The game is hyper blank, hyper woke, hyper conservative.
This ain't The Last of Us 2. It ain't on that level. You know, we're just beating head, you know, with that stuff.
Just to piggyback off of what Tony said, He already mentioned at the start of this podcast that Insomniac has been carrying the load. So just remember that, okay? It's definitely not Last of Us, okay? No offense to Naughty Dog, but this is not Last of Us. And it's not on that level of the woke stuff, so.
Yo, Rich.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Why is it?
Yep.
So, you know, we may or may not have you at the end of the year. So, just in case we don't, I want to ask you this question.
Yes.
Is Spider-Man 2 your game of the year so far?
Wow. Well, this is a very interesting question, Carlos. You're trying to put somebody on the spot when we are only in October. Let's see. Right now, it is on my list. Like, if I have my top three, it's tied for number one. Like I said, I still like Sea of Stars a lot. So I need to see. Obviously, I still need to play Baldur's Gate. There's a couple other games I still need to play. But the reason why I think, for me, Sea of Stars is still there, because, again, that's a game that I did not expect to come out and for me to enjoy it as much as I have. This is a game where I knew already this is money. I didn't have to second guess when it was coming out. Is this game really going to be good? No, I knew this game was going to be amazing. So, and plus it's a AAA title, whereas Sea of Stars is an indie title. So I kind of, I gravitate to that a lot more. But again, ask me this question again in about 2 months and it might change. But this is definitely at the top of the list. It's in the category for sure.
Now the question is, Carlos, will you ask me that question?
Uh-oh.
No, because I already know the answer.
Yeah, that's true. You know, even though even though Final Fantasy 16 was the shit, this game right here, man, this shit right here. On my TV, you know? Oh, man, good stuff. All right, unless anybody else wants to say anything else or ask any questions about Spider-Man's, we can move on because some other stuff happened this week in the game industry.
I do have some questions, but one of them could be spoiler, so I'm going to avoid it after the show.
Yes, Brian, you can play as Venom.
Oh, no. I kind of guessed that much.
Yeah.
Oh
no, you didn't have to guess. Insomnia, I told you. It's like, why are you telling people that? Anyway, go on, Brian. Go ahead. Rich first and then Brian.
Well, I just was going to say, I did see a bit of some comments circulating right before we started the show where Insomniac sort of hinted they would do a Venom spinoff game if the fans want that. I guess that's a question. That's a question I want to ask you guys if you think that should happen, because you know that they're working on a Wolverine game now. So, I don't know. Hmm. I'm curious if you guys would want to see that if they did consider doing that.
Yeah. It's Insomniac. You know it's going to be fucking fire, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say yes, because it's Insomniac.
They need to put it in another city, though.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. That is true. And Manny, you bring up a good, because it is Venom. You can kind of take him somewhere else, you know? I agree with that. Venom in a different city. I think that'd be good, you know? Mm. Mighty Nerd asks, how long is the game? It took me about 25 hours to platinum, which is 2 hours longer than the original game. So, yeah, it's about like 23, 24 hours to complete, you know, platinum and all that. And the platinum is pretty easy, too. So, yeah.
I have a question.
About as easy as the previous one.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about how you can go from Miles to Peter just right away, real time during the game. How does that work? You know, we talked about the comparison with Grand Theft Auto V and how it's done there. Is there any similarities to that with this game, or anything disappointing?
I don't think they handle it elegantly because you have to go into like the pause menu and then enter. It's called the SFR app. And then switch from there.
The app.
Yeah. A friendly neighborhood FN, you know, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Starfield?
So,
thing from the Miles Morales.
Yeah. Game. So I wasn't very happy with that, Carlos. I thought it would have been better if it was like something on the D-pad, or I think that would have been a lot cooler. But I will say this, so at the same time, Rich, I want your thoughts on this. I find it so much fun where, like, oh shit, there's a crime happening. I go in there, you know, let's just say I'm Peter Parker. Oh, fucking crime. Motherfucking Miles rolls up. Like, oh shit, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was awesome. A lot of times I will be going to, I see there's a crime in Harlem or whatever. and Miles is already there, so I can just assist him in getting you know, beating down the bad guys quickly. Yeah. I did enjoy that for sure.
You know what would be fun though is if the whatever Spider-Man, if there's a what do they call it, a light online aspect, kind of like Dark Demon Souls, right? Where in other words, the other Spider-Man that you see is actually another player. So whatever Spider-Man that you're playing, you see another Spider-Man in the other game playing in there too.
Imagine getting invaded by an alternate Spider-Man. You have to fight into the
Yeah. But Brian, what was your other question?
Are the MJ stealth missions back?
Yes.
Or did they get rid of them?
They're back. They're back.
Not gonna be my game of the year then.
Why?
Are the Miles Morales stealth missions back?
By the sounds of it, everyone hated them from the first game.
Not Insomniac, you know. I will say this though. This is one aspect of the game I didn't like. And this is a Sony thing I noticed. Why are we having the walking simulation parts? You know what I'm talking about, Brian. Right? The walking walking simulation parts.
Walking parts?
The slash. Let me observe this object that I picked up. Like, Sony, why do you need to do this in every game? You know? Look how ornate this random object is. Let me spin it around, you know?
Are you talking about a certain collectible item that you have to get these collectibles and then you can observe them after you get them?
Yeah. But you know, it's like literally every big AAA Sony game does this.
Yeah.
You know, you pick up an item and it's like, inspect item? You know?
It's not just hold it to your face. Starfield does that same shit.
Okay, yeah. No, but and again, the walking simulator moments where it's like you're slowly walking next to another character and they're talking. I'm like, why does every Sony game need to do this shit? You know?
Oh my god, the walking monologue. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
That is as bad as the TV trope of explaining something while stacking boxes. You're like, oh, really? Here we are. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like, so that put a little bit of a blemish, but it's not too bad. But it's like, Sony, why are we doing this? But at that same time, it's not just Sony. You're right, AAA games. Because I finished Mirage, I'm like, we're doing this for a little bit. Hold up.
Gears of War used to do it.
Yeah.
Where they're like, they have to go like this, and they're like, yeah, let's find out what's talking about.
Yeah, I was like,
they bop up. How come I can't run and do this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bro. The handler in Monster Hunter. He's like, let's go out in the field. And you're like, no, you don't need to go out in the field because every time you do, you just fucking walk your happy ass slowly through the entire thing until something attacks us, and then I get to play the video game. Okay. Fuck that noise.
Yeah. So there you go. So yeah, Brian, the MJ sections are back. Thankfully, they don't last that long, but still, it's like, oh, here we are, you know?
I mean, thank God, because I get sick, like, you just get fatigued being, like, strong and awesome, and every once in a while you're like, you know, it'd be fun sneaking around defenseless.
Yeah. Well, she does at least have the gun from the jump at this time, but still, you know, it's like, come on, I just want to be Spider-Man. Either Spider-Man or Peter.
Personally, you know? I go to my superhero games to play people that aren't superheroes, so... Yeah. That's just me.
I remember there was this one Hulk game where you got to play as like Bruce Banner parts, and people were like, why are we doing this? And then the next game after that, you know, they were like, how about we just have you be Hulk all the time? That was Hulk Ultimate Destruction, you know?
I mean, that's better. Like, hey, kids, would you like to play as some guy? Like, no.
Yeah.
That's awful. I mean, just no.
So, yeah, you know, take care of it. Yeah.
Are they main missions or are they side missions? Do you have to do them?
You have to do them.
God damn it. That was the only thing that bothered me about them is
you have to.
These would be fine if they're side missions and I could skip them because I 100% would.
Yeah, no, you got to do them. Thankfully, they're shorter than they were in the other game. And they're a little.
Are they meaningful or is this some Gohan saves the village bullshit?
No, it's all meaningful stuff. At least that's the other thing that made it tolerable. MJ was pulling her weight, at least, you know.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I'm not to spoil anything, but it's not just, you know, oh my god, MJ's in trouble. Spider-Man, come save her. You know, it's nothing like that. But yeah. There you go. By the way, On the last run, did I give Barry Burton a shout out? Because I saw my Comic-Con this weekend. It's good stuff. What's going on, Barry?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Thanks. I don't know if you answered this, Tony, but like, does the good writing extend beyond the main storyline? Like, I know you've praised side missions before. Like, is this one of those games?
Yeah, and there are. I'm not going to spoil. There are some specific side missions that are like really good that stick with you. Mm-hmm. Rich, I'm just going to say this: pigeons. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh like, yes, yes, yes. That was yeah. Yep. I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting. How they treated that particular mission as well with the music.
Yeah, that was interesting, though. There was a set of Miles Morales side missions that I thought were kind of cool. Brent, they have good side missions. There's some stupid ones, too, where it's like you got to, like, there's not a lot of collectibles, which is nice, you know. And there's more J. Jonah Jameson talking shit in this game, you know, which is fun.
Two Spider-Men. No, there's two Spider-Men.
It's like after every mission, he's talking shit, you know? It's hilarious. And he,
dude, I don't know why that's so satisfying.
Lizard. Yeah, it is satisfying. I don't know why, but it
just
is.
To hear a white guy, the whitest of men, just screaming about you in hatred is just for some reason like, ah, man, that's just some EMDR right there. Like, I could nap to that right there.
And it's just funny because, you know, you're doing the mission, right? You know what happened. Then J. Jonah Jameson comes around and just twists Aretha to make you the villain. It's like, no, it didn't happen like that, you fuck. You know?
Yeah, like, look at this insecure liar.
Then comes Spider-Man. It's like, I was there to save the day, bitch. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, with like these terrorists were destroying Manhattan, and then Spider-Man comes and makes it worse. It's like, what? I stopped the fucking shit from happening, you know?
And it's so much more satisfying when you're Spider-Man. Oh. Like, it's one thing to hear it like in movies or see it in comic books, but like when you do it and then he screams about you. Is it just me that you're like, like, do I just have a problem with the establishment? And I like fucking with things, but like, am I alone here?
Yeah, no, it's fun. J. Jonah Jameson is just funny, you know? But yeah, game is dope. Go play it. All right, let's move on. Let's go from one of the best games of the generation to possibly the worst. We got to talk about this fucking King Kong game. Have you guys seen this shit?
Oh, God, do we?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought you were talking about Diablo for a second. Yeah.
Brian, have you seen it? Skull Island, Rise of Kong? Fucking crazy.
No.
So yeah, this is a Steam game, and this is like, it looks like a PS2 game, man.
Bro, I thought this was a shit post at first. I thought literally somebody was
fake. I thought it was fake.
Yeah, not just fake. Like, the beauty of a shit post is how terrible it is, right? Like, it's not even bad. It's just almost comically bad.
Yeah. Rich, what were you gonna say?
So I just have one question. Is this the worst game of 2023, or is Gollum still in the number one spot?
Well, here, it's funny you mentioned that because a lot of people that, you know, were shitting on Gollum, they're like, my apologies to Gollum, this is the worst game of the year. Like, this is on another level. Like, the first like clip I saw, and the guy had a preface, like, this is actually in-game. This is real footage, you know? It had this really shitty-looking Kong, and then, like, a raptor or something was coming after him. There was a quick still, like, it looked like a photo frame. Like, it looked like it was like a template shot or something, like a fill-in shot that they just kept in the game, and then the raptor attacks. Like, what the fuck are we doing right now? No quality.
But his eyes?
Yeah, I'm like, was it?
You can see like his eyebrows clipping through his eyeballs, like, wow. Like, oh, dude.
Like, was this game so AI? Was this game AI generated? Like, what is going on here?
You know, the apology letter will be.
Yeah, right.
Isn't it the same company?
Developer as what?
Oh God, it isn't. Is it
The same developer as what?
I thought
Life of Black Tiger.
No, Gollum.
Oh, is it?
I think it's the same developer.
I don't know about that because isn't Gollum Warner Brothers?
That would be
no,
too
it's
much.
Not. No, it's not Warner Brothers. It never was a Warner Brothers. You can get the license to Lord of the Rings without working with Warner Brothers.
Oh, that's shit.
Neither here nor there, dude.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, you can. You theoretically, if you had a game studio and you had enough money, you could get the rights to do a Lord of the Rings game.
Oh, crazy.
You don't need to be part of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I need to make some money then, make my own game, you know? So who did make Gollum?
That's Didalic.
Yeah, Didalic. Yeah. So I don't think Kong, I don't think that's the same studio that made Kong, though. I think this is like an independent studio.
Yeah.
But it looks like
I gotta say, like, it is amazing. 2023 has produced some of the best games in recent memory, and definitely some of the worst. I don't know what is up with this year.
Oh, he's like Redfall, you know?
Dude, Redfall, Gollum, this thing.
So this game was developed by Iguanabe. Never heard of them.
Never heard of them. Let's see what games they've made.
I'll say it. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brett.
I said, I'll say it. They want to be real developers.
Yeah, they. Yeah, right. these headlines are hilarious. Rise of Kong might be the worst game of 2023. What else here? King Kong.
The other.
You shouldn't be surprised that your game is garbage.
The other crash and burn that this company did was the G.I. Joe Operation Blackout, also was a bomb.
So what did you do? Just a bunch it of came out in 2020. Games? Is that what their thing?
It seems like.
What's up? Oh, my God. Iguanabe. Let's look these guys up. So what have they made? Mr. Deadline for PC. Ciclonia for PC. Monster Bag for the Vita.
The Vita.
Rays for the Tango. The Tango?
The fuck?
What the fuck is the Tango?
Is there a system we just don't know about?
Oh, Google developed it. Oh, wow. It's an Android handheld, it looks like. I've never heard of this thing. I've never heard of this thing. Wow, we learned something new on Throwdown tonight.
There were like a dozen made.
Yeah. Head Snatchers for the Switch. Never heard of that game. PS4, yeah. There's the G.I. Joe Operation Blackout, and now Skull Island, Rise of Kong. Oh my God! Oh, it's coming to everything: Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, PC. So this
question, Tony, is it coming to Game Pass?
Oh my God! Can you imagine? So I think this is this year's Life of Black Tiger. I think it's safe to say that
this is not good enough for Game Pass.
No, right? Oh, shit! Oh man. Ace Ollie says, we were due for these notorious stinkers, though. Who doesn't look back fondly upon the memes of Big Rig, Superman 64, E.T., and Bubsy 3D? Trash! Oh,
Bubsy, Jesus Christ!
Bubsy 3D, man. The Tango. I'm fucked up by this thing, man. Tango was an augmented reality computing platform developed and authored by the Advanced Technology and Projects ATAP, a Skunkworks division of Google. It used computer vision to enable mobile devices such as smartphones and tablets to detect their position relative to the world around them without using GPS or other external signals. This allowed application developers to create user experiences that included indoor navigation, 3D mapping, physical space measurement, environmental recognition, augmented reality, and windows into a virtual world. Well, and Throwdown was around at that time. June 5th, 2014. Then, yeah, I think there's a reason why we talked about that.
Not enough waves.
You know, nobody cared. That thing probably just died, you know, instant it came out, you know.
Did you say it was a Skunkworks project?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Okay, you know what those are, right?
I can read it. A Skunkworks project is a project developed by a relatively small and loosely structured group of people who research and develop a project. So that's what it says here.
They basically just took some of Google's money and then Google forgot about them. Well, they developed a monster. Like, I love the idea of like six people who just got lost in payroll developing. What the fuck is this thing called again?
A tango. Tango, just tango.
Them just coming out and being like, "We've done it. We've made Tango." And Google's like, "The fuck, shut this down."
On September 15th, December 2007. Google announced they would be ending support for Tango.
When was it announced?
It was announced in June 5th, 2014, right around E3 of that year.
So it how long did it last?
3 years.
Jesus.
That's funny, man. That is funny. Well, you know, we learned something, man. But yeah, this game, Rise of Khan, absolute trash. And I think it's like $50 too. Like,
still too much.
Yeah, I'm amazed a game like this could be made in this day and age. This looks terrible. Like, even Switch games don't look as bad as this, you know? This is just atrocious. So, yeah, shame on you. I already forgot the name of the developer. Shame on you. Terrible. Iguanape, yeah, there you go.
I genuinely can't tell if this is just, like, cash-grabbing greed or true lack of talent. Like, do you guys...
Why did you not
try? Like, did you not try, or do you suck? Or yeah, is it both? Like, for some reason, that question.
The thing about it is, I think there's definitely they could have been out of their depth on this. You know, their scope might have been way too big, so there was just so much to get done. So who knows?
Maybe I mean,
I'm sure they haven't released a statement yet.
I mean, you know, every once in a while, there's just a dumpster fire that you kind of pass by and just have to stop and wonder, like, how did this happen? Like, what are the events that led to, like a fire festival, right? You're like, what happened to get you to this point? Like, not even where did you go wrong? Like, where did you go wrong again? And then where did you go wrong after that? Like, where are the 8 consecutive times that you took wrong turns to get to this place?
Did you see how jumping works in this game?
No.
You know, because in a typical game, you know, you kind of aim where you want to go and you jump, right? Not this one. You got to move a cursor around to aim Khan to where you want him to jump. So it's
a point and click adventure.
So you stop and then point this thing around instead of just actively jumping. Like, yes, why?
Oh, well, no, that makes everybody knows you can't move and jump at the same time.
It's impossible.
Yeah, that's like walking and chewing gum, man.
Yeah, like what are we doing here?
One of the things that I don't get is you may be playing as Kong, right? Who's maybe like a huge creature, but yet everything around him is somehow scaled to his size. So it just looks like you're playing as a regular sized monkey or ape, I guess.
That's a good point.
It just weeds me out. Yeah. It's like I was expecting like small trees and stuff like that, but no, it's like, hey, this ledge is as big as him. Conveniently, it's like, why? This makes no sense. Like
again, I will lay awake at night thinking of these kinds of questions. Like, did they not notice or did they not care? Again, like, did they just like? Did you guys not try, or did you just fail? I can't tell.
Broke bread.
For some reason, this question is going to haunt me.
You know what I find funny? Remember the King Kong game for the 360? That game is 10 years old, and it looks way better than this.
Yeah, because Ubisoft spent some money on it.
Yeah, they actually spent money on it, yeah.
Yeah, this kind of terrible can't be an accident, right?
I don't know, man. Ace Ali probably more than 10 years. 17?! Fuck! He's right. That King Kong game came out in 2006.
Yep.
Or 2006 or 2005. Like,
around when the King Kong movie came out, so.
Fuck, he's right. 17-year-old game looks better than this shit.
And this looks like the Roomba of video games. I kind of want to play it just to see how bad it is.
2005.
Don't do it.
Wow, 2005. A 2005 game looks better than this shit.
And it came out on the PS2. Ooh.
Wow. Wow. What are we doing? Brett, I don't get it, man. I think my brain's broken now. How? How is this possible? But then again, we have Life of Black Tiger.
That's my question.
But here's the
thing. How did you get to this point? Did you just float it in? Are you siphoning money from the company? Did you have big dreams and just utterly fail? What is the story here? I don't know why I'm so invested in this now, but like, I am.
I'll say this. Even with Life of Black Tiger, that game at least had the excuse of it was a mobile game first. Okay, this doesn't have that excuse. It was made for PC and current platforms. Even if it was a Switch exclusive, it would look better than this shit. You know?
I think somebody genuinely thought, nah, nobody will notice.
A King Kong game. Yeah, no one's going to notice that.
Just to everything like, does this look a little shoddy to you? Eh, nobody's going to notice.
What are they doing? Was this their first large-scale project? No. I mean, G.I. Joe, that's pretty large-scale too, you know?
you know, the game that came out in 2020 and bombed.
Yeah,
you know, that was
they had, they failed.
There was literally a toy line that was connected to that one, which line still exists. That game doesn't.
Wow, damn! Nice. There you go. Amazing. So yeah,
who's that? What is that lizard thing?
Yeah, I don't know. You're watching the videos, aren't you?
Yeah. What is that? Yes, I could watch this for days, man. Like, it's, again, genuinely, you have to look at it and be like, how did you? That's like coming home, like, with a rejected bank loan submission that was written in crayon. Like, what? How did? I feel like some really crazy shit had to happen just to get here. Like, did your boss get fired?
Brett, did you see the video of the placeholder raptor? Like, it's just a still shot of a raptor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, what the fuck? That's like, you know, in The Simpsons with Poochie. It's like, I have to go now. My plan needs me. And they just move the animation frame out. Like, they need to animate
it. Yeah. It almost makes me like, are you guys trolling? Is this some 4D fucking chess right here? Are we all going to wake up in a month and be like, those motherfuckers, they got all of us. It's not really a video game. It's just one giant practical joke on the internet.
Yeah. Blitz has abandoned called. Unlike abandoned, this game actually exists, though. You know?
Speaking of mysterious games, did you know a Hellboy game just came out?
I think I heard something about it.
Starring Lance Riddick, the late Lance Riddick, who passed away not long ago.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
What platforms are this for? Is it for?
Everything.
Wow.
PlayStation, Xbox, came out literally yesterday or today.
Because I knew the game was coming. I just didn't know it was coming now. Because I remember watching a trailer for that during one of those big events and stuff.
Yeah. We I mean, it looks nice. It looks like Mike Mignola style. But there's next to nothing about it. Just is.
Interesting.
Dude, it is a bad time to be an indie studio releasing a game right now.
Yeah, with all these big hitters.
Like, what? Why, like, number one, is like, why would you release Hellboy next to fucking Spider-Man?
Yeah, that's stupid.
Spider-Man week.
That's stupid.
You got to be nuts.
I'm sure audience crossover.
It's
an online.
Granted, it's like a, you know, it's a DLC game. It's not super expensive, but still, man, like, who did you think you were going to catch?
Yeah, that's stupid. All right, other things. Pete Hines, who has been with Bethesda for 24 years, has left the company. He said, now
he was retired.
Yeah, he's retired. He's retired. He's like, he felt that after Starfield, he's like, all right, time to move on, you know?
All right.
Pretty, I mean,
yeah.
Damn, that's
crazy. Some people might argue that you can tell a little bit.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, Starfield is good, but it doesn't necessarily seem like an opus as much as a bit tired.
Uh oh. Having a change of mind, Brett, on the game? Change of heart?
No, it's excellently executed. It just doesn't feel like there's something that it's not as good as their other games. And I think I said that, and I kind of stick by that. Like, it's still a Bethesda game, which, you know, it's like pizza. Or you're like, even when it's bad, it's pretty good. I wouldn't say this is bad. It's just, it doesn't feel like it captures the magic. And that, you know, Pete Hines is a pretty big voice over at Bethesda.
Yeah.
Pretty big voice in a lot of these games. And something about Starfield, like, it does kind of have a little bit of this I'm tired energy to it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So this is what he said.
I mean,
go ahead,
the thing about Pete Hines in general, what is he? He's marketing. He's not, he had nothing to really do with development of anything.
Yeah, but he was like the public face of Bethesda for a long time.
He was the public face of the Bethesda, but I feel like, you know, to be honest, the face of Bethesda is your boy.
Yeah, Todd Howard. Yeah,
but he was Todd Howard. Guys, yeah. So I feel like in this, you know, Pete Hines's role at Bethesda is redundant, especially if it's Microsoft that's going to be doing all promotions and stuff like that.
I think you may have hit it on the head right there. That may be the reason.
Phil Spencer is responsible for Pete Hines's retirement.
No, it wouldn't be surprising if they just gave him a nice retirement, you know, thing. He's retiring also. Guy's not that old either.
No, he's not.
I think in general, it's like, I think retirement's the nice way of I'm stepping down without being fired or without just leaving.
Well, dude, like, these games take, like, a decade to make. So, like, I can see just being like, I don't got another 10 years in me, bro. I'm not doing this again.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Todd Howard is still there. What, like, if him quitting after all this makes a lot more – makes a – granted, I don't know how much Pete Hines did behind the scenes, but Todd Howard is the guy that's the director of these games. You would think that would be the guy, you know, being saying, you know what? I'm done after all this.
Yeah, I think so. Todd Howard is more in the weeds of
– yeah.
In particular, because he actually developed, like, literally developed games when he was – when he first started Bethesda, but – yeah, I wonder how old is Pete Hines? He does it. Yeah.
So he was the head of publishing over there.
Yeah.
How old is he? I'm not sure, but you can tell this guy's not that old. You know.
He's not that old. I definitely think that his role is redundant, especially with a big company like Microsoft. They are the
publisher now.
They're people. Yeah. That handle all that stuff. So people like Pete Hines or any of the other people from those companies, you know, are probably going to it's just going to all divert to whoever in Microsoft. So they'll probably have a team within Microsoft that, you know, handles, you know, specific titles.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so handles, you know, all the Bethesda games and stuff like that. You know, you blah, blah, blah handles whatever these games are. I think it's going to be like that. I think there is most definitely right now, there's probably going to be a cutting of redundant roles between all of the different studios at Microsoft has acquired.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And again, Microsoft has had massive layoffs. So
yeah.
Also, if you were Pete Hines, would you want to deal with like getting used to a new company, having a new boss, finding your place in the new company, like? Even if your job isn't redundant, like, oh my god, that is so much hassle. If you are anywhere near retirement, like, you're gonna take that golden parachute, man.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, Polygon's headline is hilarious here. The face of Bethesda, no, not Todd Howard, is retiring.
Yeah, of course. It's not Todd Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, because Pete Hines is the head of all that, but you know, who's really in your face all the time? It's Todd Howard, you know?
And his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Immaculate hair, you know? and the jackets.
And the jackets?
Say he went out on a high. He went out like a wet fart. Man. Manny, were you saying in general what now?
No, like I said, in general, I think that's what it is. His role is redundant, so he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to retire. I'm going to get a nice little stipend. You know, maybe in the thing, there's going to be a certain amount of time in between what thing he can do next, and then he'll go, you know, you'll see his name somewhere else.
Yeah, so good luck to him. So he says, he's retiring from Bethesda, but he says he's gonna explore interests and passions, donating his time where I can and taking more time to enjoy life. Good on him, you know?
Good. I mean, he's probably made enough money,
yeah,
you know, to do that, to be able to do that. But then again, he's also, I'm also going to say this, he's not a guy who's always sitting behind his desk all the time.
Yeah,
I don't think he is. He's not. I would say Pete Hines is probably one of those guys, or the developers that work here. But again, I don't claim to know what he does and doesn't do. But you know, all power to him. Enjoy your life. You know, yeah, put all that money, that like video game industry money, to work, but you still can enjoy it, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, so yeah, good on him. All right, and the last thing I want to talk about here. This one's interesting. Kind of caught me off guard. So apparently, Epic is going to launch a program to incentivize developers to bring their old games to the Epic Game Store, you know, like maybe games that aren't on PC yet, you know? So I'm like, that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, there's some existing games too that could come over, but I'm like, hey, you know, I'm not saying this is their motive, but it is nice to see some kind of game preservation happening, you know? Especially with like older titles, but we don't know what these titles could be, obviously, you know.
There's a lot of games that a lot of people have been messing with the temporal injection, where essentially they hijacked they pretty much do like what the guys who did Demon Souls, what Bluepoint did, where essentially they're hijacking. They're essentially still have this old game running, but they have another portion of the engine sort of replacing of an engine replacing all the assets with new assets on top of it. There's actually a couple of really interesting examples of temporal injection replacement. So in other words, it's a remaster without actually being a remaster. So
yeah,
they just switch out all the assets. They're essentially telling it to call different assets. It's fascinating. I think they did with a couple of Valve games and stuff like that, or just re-engineered the second part of it to give it the really nice graphics, but obviously still with the old code running behind everything.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
Yeah, and this is something we discussed this back in June, that basically 87% of video games that have been made, there's no way to play them, like unless you go back to their original hardware, which sometimes the original hardware can't get anymore, you know.
Or the company had since gone out of business,
mm-hmm.
or unfortunately, if all the source code is lost,
license is lost. But all these factors, 87% of all the video games have been made unplayable. That's crazy.
And not to mention the digital store aspect of things, where essentially. Again, like there are plenty of games right now that you can't play because either the license ran out or some other reasoning. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what this Epic game thing is. It could just be nothing. You know, it could just be them blustering and stuff. And it's going to, the program's going to be called Now on Epic, which is kind of interesting. And they plan to give,
you know, Microsoft had something very similar.
Yeah.
A similar announcement this week too, where they said that they wanted to start to resurrect a bunch of older games.
Yeah.
On their end, from Bethesda or Activision or even their own thing. I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah. Gargoyles Remaster came out today. Mighty Nerd says, I didn't know that either. Everything.
Gargoyles.
These games should not be coming out right now. They're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Two comic-based sort of games, Gargoyle's not comic-based, but yeah, sort of the same fan base.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, you know, there's crossover, you know,
like us. Crossover.
Like us, and, you know. Go ahead, Rich.
And don't forget, Mario is out tomorrow, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that game's coming up, so there you go. Rich, is anybody on the Coalition playing that, reviewing it? I guess we should talk about that. Motherfuckers want to talk about Mario, you know.
You know, Nintendo does not send review copies to every publication, so
yeah.
We will not be recovering that game.
Yeah,
but we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, does anybody? I guess we got to throw a little bit of a bone to the Nintendo guys. Is anybody going to play this? Oh, Blitz says, of course he's playing it. Why am I not? Blitz is our resident Nintendo guy in Throwdown. Frankie,
Blitz is also
Frankie's interested because he's both a high-end PC guy and he loves his Switch, you know, so he's hitting both ends.
Yeah, he's the high and the low end. So Blitz is in the future, so.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, New Zealand, man.
You know, he's in the future playing it, so.
I'll be playing it.
There you go.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
are you going to be playing it on your travels?
You're talking hate in the chat right now.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. What happened? Uh-oh.
Ace Ali said Frank's a con artist. Fuck, not my boy Frankie P, you know? Derailing the conversation. Go ahead, Carlos. Are you going to play it?
Yeah, I'm going to play it. I still haven't decided whether I'm going to play it during the travels or not.
Oh, shit.
Because I don't know if I want to take my Switch as well. I'm already taking the Steam Deck, so we'll see. But I'll definitely play it before the year ends, so I can talk about it during the end of the year stuff.
And, hey, there you go. I'm glad somebody's gonna play it. I'm done with Switch. I'm not playing that shit anymore. I'm done. You know, we're moved on. You know,
he already has a handheld that
I already have a good handheld. You know, yeah.
Everything's on it. The only thing, even Nintendo games, for some people.
Yeah, for some reason. To quote the Gamer 2023, grown man gaming. That's what we're doing here. You know. But seriously, I hope people enjoy the Mario game. You know, but I'm good. I'm done. No more Nintendo for me. Blitz says, I know you don't care, but this game is legit Mario World 2. That's good to know. I'm good. You know, but you got. Ace Ali says, I've known him, Frank, most of my life, but let me say less. Fuck. Damn. You know? Hope he's not, like, fat anorexic. You know? Now, Frank's cool, man. Remember Frank, fat anorexic man, back in the day?
Oh, yeah. He was the first catfish.
Yeah, he was. That was the catfish. The original catfish. The OG catfish. Oh, my God, man. Yo, this morning, man, I was thinking about how, like, you know, Torrance started, you know, Shut the Fuck Up and Play 2012 because he felt gamers were wasting too much time on social media and forums talking shit instead of playing games. Where 2023, nothing's changed. Ain't that something?
Yeah, it has. It's gotten way worse.
Yeah, yeah, it actually has gotten worse. It has gotten worse.
Also, now there's more forums to bitch on. So, you know, progress?
Yeah. Yeah, it is progress, just in the wrong direction. You know?
Yeah, like, no, see, yeah, it's progress in the wrong direction because, like, I don't know, man, like, if you could go back to, like, fuck, I don't even know when it was before that, like, 2000, but, like, hey, you know those forum flame wars that go on? Yeah? What if we could reduce them to 140 characters or less so you people could just jam them out and fight so much faster?
You're right. Christ, man. The fuck is going on in this community? Anyway, that's pretty much gonna wrap it up for us. Another good show from Throwdown, man. Rich, I want to thank you for being on. You know, it was always good to have you on here chatting about games and all that good jazz. So yeah, man, thanks for being on here. And please, you know, plug your stuff. What's going on with the coalition and all that?
Oh yes, as always, thanks for having me. Always a fun conversation. My Twitter handle, Rich Bailey Jr. I may have to update that to RBJR, perhaps, or something to that extent.
Yeah, RBJR, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll look into that, but...
just make sure lowercase.
Yeah, yes, yeah, right, yeah.
Yes, I agree. Like I said, we have a lot of reviews coming, because even though you had Spider-Man drop, we got Alan Wake dropping next week. Oh, you shit. Have...
games,
of course. Call of Duty. Got to give a shout out to Adam. This is it.
This is it.
Because you know,
this is it.
That's yeah. That's coming soon. But yeah, definitely feel free to check out the website, thecoalition.com, coalition with a K. Because yeah, we're gonna have a lot more stuff coming in the weeks ahead. So
good stuff. And Carlos, speaking about the coalition, what's going on with the zombie show?
Yeah. We have a show on the Coalition with a K, called I Am Negan, where we talk everything and anything, the Walking Dead universe. And we, this past weekend, we recapped the season finale, because there's going to be multiple seasons, of the Daryl Dixon show.
Daryl Dixon.
So we did the Daryl Dixon show, where we discussed all the, everything that happened there, everything, you know, French killer nuns and all that stuff. Good stuff. Adam and Rich and myself talk about all that stuff. And also, we should be talking about Fear of the Walking Dead, the return of Fear of the Walking Dead, this upcoming weekend, if I remember correctly, Rich.
That's correct. Yes. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, definitely stay tuned. I am Negan. Check it out on all your podcasting apps, or The Coalition on YouTube, or thecoalition.com.
Yeah. And also, I have an announcement to make. Also related to Coalition. This is early, but I want to get it out now. 2 weeks from now, people, the greatest superhero show of all time returns. Invincible. So you know what time it is, man. You know what time it is. The Invincible podcast.
Justin, awesome old shows,
that's
yo.
That's it, man. Bringing it back. So I will be hosting the Invincible podcast for the Coalition, and I'm going to be joined by Dana, Carlos, Rich probably, Chris Seeley wants to be on. Brett, if you want to join us, you can. Yeah, man. So it's gonna be a good time. Invincible season 2, you know. So yeah, look out for that. Because the season starts November 3rd, so that's a Friday. So we'll have the episode up on Saturday when we'll record it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good stuff, man. Hey, does Streamlabs do live stuff, or is it just all pre-recorded, Rich? How does that work?
You can talk about you could do live too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we may do that. Yeah. Okay. I think I want to do it live. You know, let's do it. We're doing it live. You know, get some reactions. Feels like it's been too long since season one. Yeah, because it has been a long time since season one. You know, it's been a very, very long time since season one. You know, what was it 2020 during the pandemic?
Yeah.
The fucking yeah.
I think it was a
yeah. So yeah, the greatest superhero show of all time is coming back. You know, that's what the, that's the moniker, because that's Invincible's thing, right? Like, the greatest superhero comic book of all time. You know, so I guess that's the price of the show as well. And it, you know, one thing that annoyed me though, you know, people are like, oh, it's like The Boys but animated. The Invincible came out before The Boys, man. In the fucking comics, you ignorant fucks. You know. Anyway, that's my little rant there. We're done here, people, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And again, thank you guys over in the Discord for giving us material to talk about. You know, it's always good stuff. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Brian Majoma.
Buy games on GOG, not on Epic.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, you already know. No, Mighty Nerd, Manny is not getting his PS5 tomorrow. He's waiting for that slim, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, so there's plenty of time to ruin Spider-Man for me in that time.
Yeah, Manny's getting Spider-Man tomorrow, though, maybe. Oh, yeah, real quick, Manny, what's going on with that whole thing? Real quick, before we...
Apparently, I've known this for a while, but anyway, if you have a PlayStation Plus account, and PlayStation actually does sell physical copies of games on their website. So you can buy all of their first party games on there, and they have a guarantee, apparently. It's free shipping, and you should get it on day and date. So tomorrow, I should get Spider-Man. We'll see. I'll take a photo.
Yeah, you could just look at the box, you know?
Yeah, I could just look at the box and like flip the because there's an alternate cover on the inside. So you flip the cover inside out, and there's an alternate cover on it. So we'll see.
November 8th is that when a slim comes out? Cool.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They didn't give a date when anything was happening.
I know there was a quote leak. By the way, real quick before we sign off, I know there was quote unquote leaks specs of the PS5 Pro, but when I saw that the source was a YouTuber, immediately dismissed it. And I'm like, nope, we're not talking about
that. Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I don't trust any of those guys. Like, you know, a lot of that stuff is just like they have no ways of confirming any sort of the information that they're going to. They don't have any official sources. So I say take any of that shit with the biggest grain of salt ever.
Yeah. But yeah, because I was like, oh, we should probably talk about that. But when I saw the source was a YouTuber, no, we're good. You know, we do not entertain these as scum, you know.
And we don't give them any more views than they already got.
Yeah. So. Also, speaking about YouTubers, don't dox your fellow YouTubers, please. It's just not good, you know. Unless you have millions and millions of followers, then YouTube lets you get away with it. But that's a whole other conversation. Anyway, we'll see you guys around, man. Later.
Later. Peace.